Right, say something for me.
Hello, testing.
Alright. Alright, so guys, Mean Green Nation podcast. It's been a long time.
It has.
Yeah. I mean, we, you know, with good reason. It's not like we're just like lazy bums. We got things going on, and there's also not a whole lot going on in like college football time. I mean, there's stuff going on. Like right now, people are hitting the weight room, working out, game planning, recruiting, things like that. But like, you know, the stuff that builds up for the season. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the meat and potatoes.
Yeah, this is it's an important time, but it's not really. I don't want to say it's like an interesting time. It's not. You know, it's not for public consumption. It's for nerdy consumption, though.
Yeah.
Obsessive people consumption. And I guess we can dip into that a little bit now. So let's talk about it. The biggest thing that happened since we were on here last was the recruiting time, you know? Spring game. There was recruiting. Spring game. Let's talk about that.
All right.
You went, right? I did not go.
Yes, I went. Got a little sunburn. It was a beautiful day. Nice and windy. Plenty of people there. That was probably the most important thing. You know, they had over 5,000 people there, so it was a great event, man. You know, for when you look at the past spring games compared to this one, you could tell the buzz, the trending of the university, the program, everything that happened last year carrying over to, you know, this year. You know, that excitement, it's there. You know, it's good to see.
Yeah, spring games are. They're really just, I don't know. I don't know how useful they are, like, for, like, preparatory purposes. I mean, what do you think? Do you think you can, I don't feel like I learned too much from watching the spring game. It's good, but I don't think it's, like, an indication of really anything useful. What do you think?
Not judging, like, what a team's going to do, but judging individual talent. It's a little bit, you can still do that. You can still tell, okay, has a player grown a little bit, you know, are they better, you know, but as far as scheme-wise, yeah, you're not going to get a lot out of it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's like I said, it's useful for, like, the coaches and things, because they've seen these guys in practice, they know how they react in practice, but they don't necessarily know what it's going to be like, you know, when they get in a game-type situation, and it's a little bit different when you're going through all the. Yeah, I don't even see, like, spring games are not even, like, real games. It's a little bit different then, you know?
Yeah.
So, it's something, but, you know, I place a very low value on spring games, if you couldn't tell already.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
Yeah. It is fun. It's good times, and I've been to plenty.
It's trying to help bridge that gap between, you know, what, you know, the end of the season and then the start of next season. But, you know, there's just. It's almost like, you know, your season ends, you get a month, spring football, and then you get like 3 months, and you're just like stuck out there like, okay, what do? We got nothing.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, like I said, it has some purpose from like a fan perspective. It gets everybody excited, and it's a no-lose proposition, basically. I guess unless you're, was it Kansas that like the first teamers got their asses whooped by the second teamers? Something like that. I remember hearing that.
That's not good.
Yeah, you don't want that to happen.
No.
All in all, it was a good showing out. Lots of people showed up. Like you said, indication of the program's success. And, I mean, once you win a bowl game, I mean, there's nothing bad happened except, well, I guess we graduated everybody that carried most of the load to the bowl game, yeah.
And I think that helped drive some of the excitement, too. Because people wanted to know, okay, who's the up-and-comers? You know, yeah. We graduated all these guys that we knew what they could do. You know, who's that next guy up? Who's that next breathing chancellor? Who's the next quarterback? You know, that's obviously the big topic.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was interested in. And surprisingly enough, I think ending last season, I think a lot of people, you know, like it was like a three-way battle, and two of those people are not really... Here, they're not here anymore. So everybody was kind of thinking, well, it's going to be the freshman sensation. It's going to be his job, right? But not the case.
No, he didn't step up and really take it. You know, he just kind of, I don't know, the inconsistency part probably drove the coaches crazy, in that intensity factor, probably in practice, just not wanting, you're just not showing, you know. McNulty, he's that type of guy that in practice, you know, he's going to get after it and everything. And Dejon just doesn't kind of seem to be that type of guy. It doesn't seem to be that leader type of guy, that guy that's going to get in your face, you know? So,
is it kind of like a case of, I don't know, like, is Dejon Williams the kind of guy that, you know, you put him on the field in a game and that's where he's going to show you what's going on? And maybe he's not so good at the practice stuff. There's been, I mean, certain guys are like poor practice guys, but they're, you know, great game guys.
You know, maybe the urgency wasn't there for him. You know, this kind of, you know, his first spring practice, you know, all the expectations were kind of thrown on him. You know, he put it out there that he said that he's better than everybody else. It doesn't matter what anybody else is going to do. And, you know, maybe then once they get to the fall ball, you know, he'll kick his game up a notch. You know, maybe, like you said, he's that type of guy that he's not a practice warrior, he's a gamer. But, you know, if that's the case, it's still going to be hard for him to see the field, because you have to do enough in practice, you know, to earn your spot in the game.
Yeah, and it seems like Dan McCarney has said, he's the type of coach that he places a very high value on practice. And so if you're not practicing well, then you're not even going to sniff game time. So it doesn't even matter.
Right.
Yeah, so as far as this is concerned, it doesn't matter if Dejon, the freshman sensation,
he's still in the mix. You know, they came out.
But he's fourth. Fourth is a long way down the depth chart.
He's third, okay? He's third on that list. That was all about, you know, trying to put something motivation behind. Yeah, it was a motivation factor. And Connor Means, after the way he played in the spring game, he really deserved to be that third guy. But, you know, you don't come out and say after the spring practice that Dejon needs to get back in there if you don't think that he's third.
Yeah.
You know,
that's the other thing, too. It's like the only depth chart that is set in stone, the one that's set in stone for the longest period of time is always the off-season one, you know, because you haven't seen anything.
Yeah.
Once one game happens, those things move around, you know, quick. I've seen guys have gone, like, you know, into the season as the number one starter with a bullet, and then quickly get yanked in, like, the first half of the game. Yeah, I mean, so that's kind of stuff happens. Just want to throw that out there.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's totally understandable. So he's got that chance to move back up in the battle, but right now, you know, it's McNulty, it's Greer. People are going to have their arguments between the two. They're really two different types of quarterbacks, and, you know, UNT could go two separate ways with their offense with either one. They could get Josh Greer and run more of what we did last year, more of the traditional, you know, under center play action. Yeah, he's got the big arm. He can get it down the field. When he's able to stand in the pocket and he trusts what he's seeing, dude is accurate and he can sling it. He can sling it better than anybody we got. But it's a little happy feet sometimes, and, you know, he'll start, you know, moving outside the pocket when he doesn't have to. You know, there was a couple times where I was just like, just stay in there, buddy. And he would just move over to the right or to the left, and then he'd get himself in trouble because one of the Russians, he put himself in their way. So, I mean, that's him. And then with McNulty, I think they could still be good with him. I think, yeah, he doesn't have the great arm, but he can still make the quick throws. We can still have, you know, we have enough weapons, wide receiver-wise, coming in, and the guys on the field now. Yeah, if he knows where he's going with the ball and he gets it out quick, we have the guys that can turn that into big plays.
Yeah. Now say something for me again.
Andrew McNulty.
There you go.
Best quarterback that we have on this team. And then everybody goes crazy.
I think, you were like degrading. I don't know, like you were getting so far into the point that you were breaking the internet. What was I going to say? I think the biggest danger here, for me, I don't know, just because I like to worry about these kinds of things, is that maybe the coaching staff is like spoiled for choice, in as much that you have so many different types of quarterbacks, and you got, you know what I mean, like there's so many bags of tricks there. You know what I mean? Like they're like, well, he can give us this, and he can give us that, and he can provide the little running ability. And I think maybe that's not good. You know what I mean? Like, I think maybe Derek Thompson was a clear number one starter, and so we, you know, we kind of knew what we were going to do in the offensive game, and then that was it, and we stopped thinking about it. We didn't overthink it, you know? We were like, this is what we're going to do. This is what we have. I don't think that's going to happen. I think Dan McCarney is very pragmatic, practical kind of coach, and so I don't think he's going to be like, you know what, let's do this, let's do that. But, I mean, he did have that game where he decided he was not going to kick a field goal ever again against Troy a couple years ago.
Oh, yeah, that was right.
I'm just kind of wondering if he's going to be like, I don't like what I'm seeing from the offense, and then he just pulls a guy and sticks another quarterback in there, and he doesn't like what he sees and throws another guy in there. I don't want that, and that's what I'm scared of. I don't think McCartney's going to do that, but it's there, and I'm afraid of it.
Yeah, but what this team needs out of the quarterback is just a field, just a game manager, just a point guard on the field, and I just want a guy that can distribute the ball. He doesn't have to be great. He doesn't have to make all kinds of plays all over the field, throw it 50 yards. Just get the ball in the playmaker's hands as soon as possible. That's it. We have got enough guys. When you start looking at the three starters of Kidzie, Harris, Terrell, those three guys are really good. And then you add in your tight end Marcus Smith. He's a difference maker. He's going to be tough to guard. And then you bring in the other freshman guys and the guys that are behind Kidzie and Harris. And then you throw in the running backs.
Well, I'll say this. I agree with you. You got a lot of playmakers, and you want to get them the ball, and there's many ways to get them the ball. Mike Canales, he's a student of getting guys the ball. If you look at his offense, like not under Dan McCarney and, you know, in some other ways and some of the coaching videos he's putting out. I mean, he's not unwise to to modern offense.
Yeah.
But modern college football relies heavily on the quarterback. And what? Somebody sent me a text message. It's always weird. Somebody sends me a weird text message. Anyway, you see what I'm saying? Is that like, if the quarterback can't get those playmakers the ball, then we don't reach the full potential of our offense.
Exactly.
And some of that is just making the right read, because somebody's open on every play, yes. But knowing that guy's open, or knowing if there's going to be anybody open on this side of the field, you know, really depends on how quickly our quarterback can process that information, the indicators of openness, you know? That's what I'm saying. Like playing a freshman guy or playing a, you know, I don't know, just like Andrew McNulty type, that's going to limit our offense some. And so I just, it's hard to look at all our playmakers and say, well, they will help us overcome quarterback. You know what I mean? And that's not to say we have a terrible quarterback. I'm just saying. Yeah.
No, I get what you're saying, because it's – and the thing that just watching the spring game had me a little bit concerned is making those quick decisions, because there was the first drive of the game where McNulty comes out and gets sacked like twice, and I'm like, just get rid of the ball. Just, you know, there's no need to hold on to it for that long, you know, just get rid of it.
That's where a guy that's been in the system for a while – I mean, that's kind of what he would do, right? Maybe he couldn't make a play, but he should be able to get rid of the ball. Maybe it's a check down, but he doesn't make the mistake of holding on to it, right? At least you would hope not.
You would hope not, because a check down, I'm thinking a check down to Kidzie or Jimerson or whoever, with these guys, you know, you have to drill into their mind that a check down with the guys that I got out there can turn into a 50-yard game.
Yeah, that is a positive play.
Yeah.
They teach him, like, you know, a non-interception, a non-sack is a good thing, right? A zero is a good thing. Yeah. A non-negative play is a good thing.
It is, you know. But, I mean, when you're trying to win a job, when you're trying to impress your coaches, maybe that was the thing. Maybe that, you know. And we've seen it, and maybe, you know,
we've seen McNulty play the most out of any of these guys, and you know that's kind of to a disadvantage to him, I think, because almost every time we've seen him out there, he's made turnovers. So you hope, so you hope that's not what carries over into next year. You hope that all that's behind him, and that you know he's, because I think that at the end of the day, that he'll probably be the guy that goes out against Texas.
I think so too. I mean, it's hard to see any other thing. I mean, Dejon Williams, you don't want to start him out there, you know, even though he has loads of talent and whatever, because he's, you know, essentially a freshman, and it's going to be in front of, what, 120,000 people or some such like that. They keep adding, like, tens of thousands of seats there every year.
I don't think they'll be done with those. I think it'll be, like, 101,000.
101,000 is a, what, is it like 70 more thousand than we get on game day, you know what I mean? So
yeah, but I'll say this, they don't get really loud there.
That's so true. Yeah. Well, I mean, even 100,000 people just rustling around on their seat, you know, or leaning over to take a sip of a Coke there, you know, that makes a lot more noise than 10,000 does, you know? I'm just saying.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you walk around, you look up there and you see, you know, the rows of people go just higher and higher. It's the big Austin game day, you know what I mean? That can be intimidating. And that's not necessarily like he's going to be scared to make a play, or any of them are going to be scared to make plays. I think they're going to be up to the challenge, but maybe that's the thing. They're so hyped to make a play that you get, you know, you get too excited. You stop thinking.
Yeah.
You know that you're supposed to do the check down, but instead you try to fit it in between two players because, you know.
Yeah, and that's that – would get McNulty in trouble because he doesn't have the arm to do that. He's got to make the throws to the open people. He doesn't, and he can't make the throws in the tight windows. So it's going to be an interesting battle going into fall. You know, I think that at the end of the day, they'll probably feel safest with McNulty because he's been around the program a lot. And Greer, he'll make a push. He'll be right there. And I mean, if McNulty, you know, totally, you know, craps on the pot, you know, then I think they'll make the, you know, they'll pull him, but Dejon's probably the wild card in this too, you know. He blew it up last fall practice, so I know a bunch of UNT fans are probably hoping that he does the same thing and, you know, they give him the star. I just can't see that.
Yeah, I wonder if some of this benching, quote-unquote, there, because it's not necessarily a benching, you know, when you're fourth on the depth chart in spring, it doesn't mean very much, if anything. So, you know, like I said, I think I wonder if it's some of it just to kind of temper some of that, we'll just call it enthusiasm, you know?
Yeah.
You know, make him learn it a little bit. Make him work for it. Light a fire under him. And that's just good coaching, you know?
Yeah.
The best coaches are hardest on the guys that they think they can do really well. They can really exceed.
Absolutely.
Because you try to get that out of him. And I think Dan McCarney would be a bad coach if he didn't, you know, attempt to do that.
Yeah.
So any other surprise? I mean, like I said, I think spring games are hard to tell. Like, especially, like, it's hard to – you're going against the guys that you've gone against a lot of times, you know, like over and over in practice. So it's hard to tell if our defense looks good or bad or really anything. Do you have any thoughts on that there?
Yeah, you know, last year they came out and they held the second team to, what, negative yards. And everybody kind of was concerned, was like, well, you know, I think our offense might suck a little bit. we can't run the ball, but it actually turned out the other way. You know, our defense was just that good. The defensive line, they can pass rush. Like, Roberts, Darian Roberts, Daryl Mason, Chad Polk, they can get after the quarterback. So that, I don't think that's going to be a problem at all. I think stopping the run up the middle is probably going to be the hardest part.
Yeah, it's going to be, like, we've talked about this before. I think it's going to be interesting to see how this team's comprised. You know, like, every team is different. Every year is different. You know, last year we had such a good defense, almost an historically good defense, that it carried a, I don't want to say pedestrian because that sounds pejorative. It's like an okay offense, you know, like an average offense that, you know, if we had a sieve of a defense, then, you know, we would have just hated everybody. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, yeah, the defense was the best unit. Now, Do we have an all-time great UNT offense here? No, I don't think so. And so we're losing that all-time great defense. And so what does that make us? You know, what kind of team does that make? You know, and also lost in the shop. I always want to point this out too. We had an all-time great special teams unit. We blocked 800,000 kicks, you know, or whatever it was. I might be off by 1-2 then. But you know, that added to, you know, to our point totals, you know, that kind of inflated the offense's production, you know?
Yeah. I mean, if you take a step outside the program and you're an analyst or some other, you know, college person, you're looking in at UNT, you see everything that they did last year, you see everything that lined up perfectly for them, and you say, okay, what's this team going to be this year? You would just say, they're just going to be average. There's not going to be anything special about them. Now, us, we're tied into the program. We know some things. So we think, you know, hey, those up-and-comer guys, we're going to be a little bit better than average. But still, you know, there's that thought in the back of at least my mind where, you know, we had a lot of things go right for us last year. And this year, you know, the offense is going to have to be better than it was last year because the defense is not going to be as great. Like you said, the special teams is not going to be as good. So we need that. The offense needs to step up. The defense, I think they're going to be okay. They're going to make plays, but they're also going to miss some plays because they're young. They're going to miss some assignments. Like, you know, we saw a little bit in the spring game. They missed some assignments. They might miss some tackles. But, you know, the effort's still going to be there. You know, the fundamentals are probably, they'll get there, but they might be lacking that first game. And the other thing is the size. That's probably the other concern of mine. We're going to be a fast, small, tenacious little team that gets after you, but...
Yeah, you know, that's the thing, too. Talking about, effort, you know, that... as far as luck goes, I do believe that you do make your own luck, you know? If you're not hustling after every loose ball, then you're not going to get a lucky bounce, you know, because you're not going to be in position to receive that bounce. Sure, some teams, you know, get luckier than others certain seasons, but I think that's why you kind of see some teams up there a lot, in turnover, plus minus.
Yeah.
Because they put themselves in position. You're not going to get every bounce. Picking up turnovers is not a skill. But putting yourself in position is kind of, you know? So
yeah, the teams that are best at the fundamentals in defense, that tackle well, that, you know, take the correct pursuit angles, that fly to the ball, those are the teams that end up with the turnovers. Those are the teams that end up making their luck. Like Virginia Tech, you know, they were all about building their special teams, their fundamentals, and their defense was good. And they were good for so many years because they were able to get that extra... you know, that extra help from their other units.
Yeah, and that's exactly what we did last season. You know, if you make the tackle on the guy there, you don't give him extra yardage. You're in position to make a play. You're in position to make a tackle. And you should be. You know, there shouldn't be any blown assignments where a guy has 15 yards to make a catch, you know, or there's a gaping hole and the running back's running through there. And, that's not as exciting as, you know, a guy getting into the backfield and getting a big hit or, you know, interceptions and things. But those things, being in the right place at the right time, making the right play, is what wins games. It's what stops drives. It's what makes, you know, a first down 3-yard pass into just a 3-yard pass and not an 8-yard pass. And so when it's third down, it's third and long and not third and one or, you know, people getting first downs. And, you know, those are the things that win football games. And last year we did that plus more. Plus we got interceptions. Plus we got, you know, sacks and things. So if we're just in positions to make plays, that's all you can ask for. And everything else past that is the talent, you know. I wasn't just in position to make a tackle. I was in position to make an interception. You know, I wasn't just hitting a guy and making a tackle, but I hit him so hard he fumbled. You know, that's the talent portion. And whether or not we have that, we'll see. We'll see if we have the same kind of talent and experience to really make us a superb defense. But I think we can hope for, and I don't want to say expect, but we can expect Dan McCarney to coach these guys to be in the right spot. Dan McCarney and John Scledaney. And that's kind of what we're looking for out here.
Yeah, you know, the defense, they're going to be okay. They'll make plays, they'll miss some plays, but overall, I think they'll be okay. The offensive line, I think they'll be okay. I think we'll be good at running back, wide receiver, like we said. The secondary, they should be okay. There's a little bit of a depth issue probably in the secondary. I know we landed the one kid, Matthew Dash, we just signed him recently. And he's a safety. And he's good. He can tackle. He's a UNT football player. He can play the fundamentals, tackles, takes good angles, good anticipation, gets the ball. He's just not, you know, the reason he probably didn't end up at a bigger school is because he's not the fastest guy in the world.
Yeah.
Everything else, I love about the kid. So, you know, and he...
That's fine if he's not, like, the fastest guy in the world, because we're not going to take on the fastest guys in the world. You know, we're not playing the SEC, and I know there's, you know, are they really that fast? We're not going to play them week in, week out. We are going to play Conference USA people and a bunch of other guys that are slightly undersized or slightly slower and that kind of thing. So it's not really a big deal.
Right.
I'm fine with it. Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, when you look at this team, and you know, I think coming out of spring, mostly healthy, that's a good thing. I think we're okay on our depth, and I think that really it's just the quarterback issue. If we can find that guy, you know, I think they'll be okay. They'll be a bowl team again. If they struggle to find the quarterback, then it might be a 5-win team.
Yeah, that's really – isn't that the story for, like, most every team, right? Like, well, we got a team. Let's see if we got a quarterback, though.
Yeah.
I mean, even some teams that like, well, like UTSA in particular, our rival, pauses, looks around. You know what I'm saying? Like, they lost their Eric Sosa, their dude, and they're kind of wondering if they're going to have that guy to be that leader, that dude. And we lost the leader. We lost, you know, our all-time leading passer in a bunch of categories, which is weird because, you know, they were not... In this day and age of football, I mean, they're not super impressive. It tells you something about UNT quarterbacks or the UNT passing game. Or maybe it tells you about our running game, which has been awesome. There you go.
Yeah, I mean,
positive. Let's be positive, Adam.
Good karma for the Mean Green. Good karma.
Yeah. So that's it for, like, spring game talk. Like I said, I think you can learn some things. I don't think you can learn everything. And, you know, we'll know more about this team come fall practice. What are we talking about now? You want to talk about NFL draft? Are we going to get anybody drafted?
If we get one, I think it's going to be Zach Orr. I keep coming back to him. I think it's either Zach Orr, or maybe by some miracle shot, it's Derek Thompson. You know?
What is with that? Like, who's looking at him as a draftable guy? Like, I haven't heard the teams are thinking about taking him.
Well, it wouldn't be any of the teams. I mean, he did, you know, the regional. He went on to the super regional thing. And the thing with Derek Thompson, when you're a scout and you look at the kid and you see, okay, he's 6'4", he's big, you know, he's kind of mobile for a 6'4 guy, which you need in the NFL. He has a good enough arm to be an NFL quarterback. He's got a better arm than some of the other guys that are ranked way ahead of him. So they see that and they're like, well, you know what? We can mold this guy. He was taught by Mike Canales. This guy knows pro quarterbacks.
Yeah.
I think that's the, you know, I think he's going to get a shot in a camp. I think Zach Wong's going to get into a camp if he doesn't get drafted. Thompson's going to get into a camp. Chancellor Trice and maybe Bellazan gets into a camp.
Yeah, Marcus Trice is going to have the same problems that he had when it came to being recruited, is that he's, like, smallish.
But the thing is, like, CBS, they ranked 1,000 prospects, right? 1,000 of them. Marcus Trice was 906. There's no way that there's 906 prospects better than Marcus Trice. But what about Breland Chancellor? They ranked him 529. There were 7 kickers, 11 punters, and four long snappers ahead of him as a prospect.
I mean, excuse me. I don't have the official scout title behind, you know, my name. But, dude, I know damn well that he is better than four long snappers. He has a better chance.
Look, yeah, I think in his favor is he has a great tape. You know, like, what did the tuna say? That if you can return kicks, you can return kicks. It's not... You know, it's not like, well, he returned him against this competition or he returned him against that one. He said some guys can return kicks, and if they can, they can do it. And I think you can see that. You see a lot of small college guys, you know, getting to the NFL start returning kicks.
Yeah, the only thing is that it's being phased out of the NFL.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. But, I mean, you do have the punt game, and that's there, and he can return punts too. And he's, you know, he's a worker. He can play special teams, not just returning kicks, but you know.
Yeah, and that's why I think the two best pros and the guys that are going to have the longest career are probably Zach Warren and Marcus Trice. They made the most like special teams tackles, they did all that stuff, and their work ethic, I think that's going to pay off. I think Chancellor, you know, I love the kid and don't shoot the messenger, but I think that the injury concerns, being small, and being that there's probably like 70 other wide receivers that are going to be, would have a chance to be picked ahead of him. I know the guys on the pro day, you know, if you're watching the UNT pro day, you know, thing, they're like, wow, you know, he ran the 4.5, and, you know, I'm talking to some scouts, and he has to get drafted. If he would have ran a 4.4, I bet you he probably would have maybe gotten drafted. But the 4.5 and the being 5.9, that, you know, I love the vertical. He had the 41-inch vertical, so you see the athleticism there, but just that, you know.
Yeah, I think, what is it? Somebody said that, like, if you get to the NFL, it's like, you just need to be athletic enough to be there, and a lot of the rest of the stuff is, like, how tough you are, how, you know, like, how, your ability to, like, basically be a pro, that kind of stuff, your adaptability, basically, like, to new positions and new roles. And, I mean, unless you're just, you know, some beast of an athlete, then you just need to be athletic enough and then fit in there. Because there's been lots of guys with loads of talent, loads of athletic talent, that have not hacked in the NFL because, you know, the other stuff. Like the mental type stuff.
You know, he could be a very productive pro player. He could be like a Wes Welker type of cat. You know, everybody, you know, they like their short, small, slot wide receiver guys. But I'm just trying to tell people from a scout's perspective, you know, don't be surprised if we don't get anybody drafted. It doesn't mean that these guys aren't good players.
Yeah.
You know, it just maybe means that, you know, nobody took the look at them. Nobody, I guarantee there's probably some guys that took the time, probably the Cowboys guys because they're in the Metroplex and they've seen them. So if any of the guys go, they might go there. But, you know, our guys like Zach Orr, he doesn't have the measurables that he's an inside linebacker. And he ran, you know, well, some people are like, well, maybe he could play an outside linebacker. Well, he ran a 4.8. So you kind of hope in today's range, you would have hoped that he might have ran a little bit faster. I mean, he plays faster on the field. He runs sideline to sideline. But, you know, again, when you're getting down to the seventh round, you know, you're talking about the measurables might be the difference between then a team taking a chance on one player versus Zach Orr, where they could just call him and say, hey, we want to bring you in as an undrafted.
Yeah, that's it. I think that's where you take a flyer, sixth, seventh round. You're like, well, this guy, we don't know a whole lot about him, but he just got the blazing speed. Or he just had a crazy combine or something like that. Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like Patrick Cobbs wasn't like a, you know, physical marvel either, and he carved out a nice little career there in the NFL. Injuries got to him a little bit, and I mean, you know, he bounced around, but like, you know, like I said, he was willing to work. Everybody said that he was, you know, great on special teams, and you know, he was a guy that was our main water carrier, basically. You know what I mean,
yeah,
and you know, so there you go.
And I thought it was kind of cool that the Seahawks, they actually sent out flyers, and they're trying to, like, recruit some of these undrafted free agents already. They're sending out that information. You know, they're on the top. You know, they won the Super Bowl. They've done things a little bit different. And
it's that Pete Carroll style, right?
Yeah. So, okay, give me your top five of your mock draft. You have the Texans. Are you Texans fan? You're a Texans.
No, I'm not. I'm not. I'm a Cowboys fan.
Okay. So give me your first five picks, and then give me your Cowboys pick. What?
Well, I don't have that. You're putting me on a spot here because I kind of mostly hate mock drafts.
Everybody does a mock draft.
Yeah, I mean, no, not me. I decided against it. Mostly because today I was watching ESPN, and they were doing a live mock draft, like calling up like the beat writer, and like, all right, so who do you pick for the Eagles? We're like, well, at the 22nd pick, I think the Eagles should get Marquise Lee. And I mean, I just found that was annoying. And so I don't know. I guess I'm just not as into it as I once was. Gotcha. I do like some draft hype, but I refuse to make a mock draft anymore.
Okay.
So I will pass. You all guys right. Could all talk mess to me. But give me your mock. Go ahead. I don't want to ruin the fun.
No. If I have my top five and there's no trades, because I think there's going to be trades tomorrow anyways. Yeah. I think one, Houston, they take Clowney. He's the best player, and he played in the SEC. So I think that wins the conversation over Khalil Mack. Two is St. Louis, and they need to protect Sam Bradford, or they could go wide receiver, but I think they go Greg Robinson. Jacksonville at three, God, they need a lot of help. They need everything they can find.
Can they draft a team? Is it possible for them just to draft a team?
I mean, you would think maybe they take Johnny Manziel. I don't know, but... I'll say they're going to take Sammy Watkins because Justin Blackmon's out for an entire year with another drug suspension. So they need a playmaker, and Sammy Watkins, he's the guy.
So they're basically, like, what are they going to do? Like the Detroit model where they draft all the wide receivers that were ever kind of good in college and hope they hit on another, you know, Megatron, basically?
I don't know. Well, you know, talking about Detroit, they're one of the teams that could move up in the top four to pick.
I think I lost, yeah.
You know, they're going to go and take the offensive tackle Jake Matthews, even though that's not what I would do.
Do you want Manziel? Is that what you want?
Yes, I would take Manziel. I would take him in a heartbeat. I'm doing my own Browns draft tomorrow and this weekend. So basically, I've got like my own big board made up where I've had... Yeah. I got like 100 players that I looked at that I said, I could see these guys with the Browns. So every pick that they make, I'm going to announce my pick at the same time that they announce their pick.
All right, there you go. You going to do this on Twitter?
Yeah, I was going to do it on Twitter and my Facebook page. And so, yeah, with my first pick, if Johnny's on the board, dude, I need Johnny in Cleveland. I need him in Cleveland. You know what? At the very least,
it will make it fun to watch him.
Yeah. Exactly, but you know the thing is like Cleveland has all these other picks. We got number 26. We got all this other stuff. We could take a risk if four on Johnny, and he's got the biggest upside as a quarterback. So if he hits it, great. If not, I still got Brian Hoyer as my quarterback. So I don't think they're going to do that. You know, all the reports came out and said that they're not going to do that, which maybe that means that they are.
Well, yeah, what is it? Like, ESPN basically said, was it Chris Mortensen was like, yeah, he's going to do it. But then
Glazer
was like, yeah, he was like, no, they're not going to do it. Well, and then ESPN went and deleted their tweet.
Mortensen basically said that Cleveland's going to take a tackle at four, but if they don't, Johnny Manziel won't get past him. And then Glazer came out and he's like, well, ESPN is saying that they're going to draft Johnny Manziel no matter what. I'm like, they didn't say that. And I don't know, all this, you know, because the draft got pushed back this year, you know, it's crazy. So
would you watch a 4-day draft? They're talking about breaking it up, adding another day.
Probably because I'm that nerdy of a football fan and a Browns fan, and to me, when the Browns draft, it's like the Super Bowl. That's like our day to hope, you know. And there was like that whole thing yesterday. You know, I listened to an ESPN Cleveland show, and they talked about, they started this hashtag called Browns Good Karma. It was like the number one trending in the nation, because everybody was just like getting on board.
they were like, no matter who Cleveland picks, we're going to support him. Because, I mean, there's a lot of background. A lot of fans don't want Johnny Dunn. A lot of them do. And I don't know. It'll be fun once it all happens tomorrow. So, if I had to say...
I keep having to interrupt you, like, every couple seconds. Because, like, the longer you talk, I don't know, like, your connection gets weird. And so then it starts breaking up. But then you start talking again. Yeah, you just sound great again. It's the weirdest thing.
All right, well, that's enough draft. So I take Clowney, I take Robinson, I'll take Watkins, Jake Matthews, and Oakland will take Mike Evans. 3 and M, there you go. That's all I got.
That's good. I think, I don't know. I mean, this might be a function of my, like weird Cowboys fandom now, right? It's just kind of a weird place, and I don't know if I have any energy left over to care about what Jerry Jones decides to ruin this year, you know? So I think that's mostly a function of it. I think I'm not as excited about the NFL draft as I once was.
Did you see the meme where that it came out? It was like the Cowboys players and they were praying in the end zone.
Yeah, please God, let Jerry Jones say something racist.
Yeah, there you go. I thought of all my Cowboys fans then.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, and also, like, you know, I'm a Spurs fan, and the Spurs are, you know, we're making another run here. So it's kind of hard for me to focus on a team that hasn't won since 1996, you know, versus a team that's won as recently as 2007. You see what I'm saying there?
So, I totally get it. The Spurs, they wanted to make one last run. They pumped that Viagra in before the playoffs started. And the whole thing hit.
Yeah. It's one last go round, and I'm enjoying it. I want to make sure I soak up everything here, and not you know, because I think there's going to be like a long winter, you know. Even as good as Kawhi Leonard is, as good as like Tony Parker still is, they're not going to really lead a team. I don't know, deep in the playoffs, I don't think. And so I got to enjoy it while Timmy's here and while Manu Ginobili's here. So,
gotcha. So, I mean, you're talking about basketball. We just, UNT just signed those two guys, and I like them. You know, we got a point guard. We needed the point guard with Todd Eaglin, the junior college kid. He's a true point guard that can shoot. I like that. You know, he may even eventually be the starter over Chris Jones, not sure. And then the other guy that we brought in, the 6'7", the 4. I like him. I like that signing a lot because it gives us another guy that can score in the post.
Yeah, you know, the problem with basketball, at least UNT basketball, is that at least a lot of fans, one, it has like what, I'll say like 30% of the fandom that the football team has. And that's at like its peak popularity. And this whole Tony Benford era has really kind of killed even that. There's like a whole lot of pessimists.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
And so, even these recruits, I just noticed, like, browsing the boards, that nobody really thinks that they're going to do very well, or just, like, it's not going to help. They're like, well, it's not a new coach, you know what I mean? We need to recruit a new coach. And so, I mean, where do you stand? Let's get another state of the Tony Benford era from you. What do you think about the future?
I think the future is going to depend on this year. I think this is his last chance. And, you know, I'm not as, you know, pessimistic as a lot of people are, because I don't think, I don't know.
You weren't too happy during the tournament, though. You were ranting and raving on Twitter.
When it comes to basketball, I will rant and rave because, yeah, when it comes to basketball, I will rant and rave because I know what I believe in. I know what I've been taught, and that's it. I think that, you know, I don't think that he's that bad of a coach as some people pointed out to be. You know, there is that talk of them going to a faster, more up-tempo offense this year, which is good and bad. Their offense was better last year when they went faster. But when they went faster, the defense wasn't as good.
Yeah, that is dangerous, because I think the best teams can disrupt your tempo. That even if you're a fast team, they can slow it down enough or speed it up enough that you get uncomfortable. You know, I think that's what good teams do. Basically, they play at the pace that they want to play at. You know, and And so I don't know if it just like increasing the pace is going to be the answer. You know, I think you kind of want to have a good team that can play at different paces. You know, ideally. I'll say this, that the best coaches can take any group of guys and kind of mold them into a good basketball team. Absolutely. I don't think Tony Bedford is that kind of coach, or as you know, good enough coach to do that, at least at this point in his career. I mean, he's only in his second or going into his third year now, so let's cut him a little slack here. You know, maybe he is the kind of guy that needs his type of players to run his system. A guy like, I guess if you want to use an NBA guy, a guy like Mike D'Antoni, you know, that when he had his guys, you know, that fit his system, you know, he was a revelation. But, you know, he's over there with the Lakers. They don't really have the kind of guys he wanted, and he couldn't get the buy-in he needed. And so, you know, he ends up resigning, that kind of thing. I'm hoping that's the case. I don't know if it is, but that's you know, it's spring. It's time to be positive. And that's my positive spin on the whole basketball situation.
Absolutely. Bring good karma to them. I think that they have enough guys that can score. I think the point guard that they brought in, I think he's going to fit well into what they want to do. Yeah. I think the question will be is can they rebound the ball and can they play defense? And if they can't do those two things, then they're going to struggle. And they'll be probably a lot like this year. If they can figure out ways to, if they can make enough shots to where rebounding isn't that much of an issue, and then they make enough shots where they can get back and play good enough defense, then I think that they have the ability to be a top three team in Conference USA. I think the talent is there. I think now we just have to see that growth. And if we don't see that growth this year, then hopefully those people will be completely off.
Yeah, I think obviously, like the Conference USA tournament is ridiculous. Like you have to win, was it like 8 games in a row or something like that? God. If you like finish like where we would have had to like play, and then we had like the worst schedule too. Like we won like late and we would have had to play early. Like I forget who we lost to already, but
we lost to Tulane.
Yeah, we would have had to play like FIU like at, you know, early in the day, like the early game, which is ridiculous. There's like no time to recover. And then if you win that one, you got to go on to the next one. Like pretty much nobody that started like on the first or second day got it past, you know, like 2 games. That really is a gauntlet there. And I mean, so you really need that double bye. I mean,
yeah. I mean,
that's an easy. There's some basketball analysis for you, right? You probably should win a lot of games. I think that'd be good.
You want to be playing well going into the tournament. That's the most important thing.
But I mean, even if you're playing outstandingly, you're not going to be able to win 5 games in a row on five straight nights. I think that's asking a lot. Probably too much.
If you make enough shots, you can win. If you score enough points.
Yeah. I mean, you got to hope that you're getting all the layups and all the luck. Because, I mean, your legs just get, you know, you just have, like, dead legs by night 4. I think we even play, like, an overtime. God. The worst. Can't make it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's over with. The basketball season was turned into, you know, it wasn't as bad as the year before, and the hope wasn't there going into this year, so it wasn't as much of a tragedy.
Yeah.
But still, I mean, you know, next year when the season starts, probably have like maybe, you know, 15 people, you know, in the stands. Like, I'm pretty sure that we could contact the media, you know, department for UNT, you know, proper, and ask if we wanted to get, you know, the first question. I'm pretty sure he would give it to us.
Yeah.
And because there's literally, when you look at it, the seat style is just, you know, nobody else is going to meet him.
Yeah, I think you have a point there. I was going to say, yeah, basketball is way far off. It's not going to start for a while. It's like November or something like that.
Yeah, but they do their practices in the summer, so they got that. Kind of like the spring game for football, basketball is their summer program, so.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to get excited. I guess. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I don't want to knock it. I'm just saying that it's so far off, I don't want to get worked up and think about Tony Bedford.
Yeah, right, it's hard now to get excited unless you landed a big recruit, and we haven't done that.
So. No, and even when we had a big recruit, you know, an NBA player, I mean, you know, we kind of squandered it. See, you made me, you kind of made me upset again, Greg.
Hey, well, good news, softball team, they're playing well.
Yeah, shout out to the softball team.
Yeah, they're like the, I think they're the fifth seed going into their tournament. I think they play tomorrow night. I won't, you know, be paying too much attention to it because I'll be at Brown's draft. But, yeah, I think they've won 30 games this year, so... They've won some dramatic fashions, and they had to walk off run for their last game.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's good to see those other sports carrying over. You know, give some people some hope in their time, you know, after basketball, there's nothing going on here. And then the softball team. You know,
all right, hold on. You're degrading. Just take a pause. Now continue.
The softball team is carrying momentum. You know, they're helping the program out. I don't know what I'm trying to say. You broke up my mind.
I mean, it's—I swear—it's the weirdest thing. And like, you know, we could like stop and redo it all over, but it won't have the same verve. It is weird. Like, you'll start talking, you're like, "Yeah," and blah 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 blah, and then I can't make it out anymore. And so I'm just kind of nodding my head, imagining what you'd say. But no, I agree. So, like, that's the thing. Is like the other sports. They're good. Now's a bad time for like stuff to go on. Everybody's looking forward to the end of semester, looking forward to not being around school. You know, thinking about that summer.
Yeah,
you going anywhere this summer?
We are in 2 weeks. Yeah, 2 weeks after the Byron Nelson Golf Tournament. Since I have to work that, we're going to Pennsylvania.
Hey, I'm going to California. We're going to California for 2 weeks.
That'll be fun.
Yeah, even at work, I'm just they're like, "Hey, Adam, can you do it?" And I'm just thinking, I just got to get through like one more week, and then I get to be gone for 2 weeks. And let me tell you, it's not the greatest productivity tool. What was I gonna say? One thing I am excited about for the fall. I mean, I don't know how much we're gonna talk. How much we're gonna podcast during the summer, but. One thing I'm excited about during the fall is going to be like the women's soccer team. I see Rachel Holden out there. She's a baller.
Yeah.
Yeah. There really needs to be like a men's soccer team. I wonder if they're working on that while they're working on baseball.
Yeah. My wife's been working at Top Golf here in the colony, and it's a prime time place. If you haven't been to Top Golf, you need to go because it's fun. But she's been repping our blog, been talking to all the youth.
Hey.
And she and one guy said that we need to talk about the golf team more.
So. Hey, give me something to talk. I know little to nothing about golf. I mean, which is kind of odd. But, I mean, you know, I just don't. I know a lot about a lot of other things. And I'm perfectly willing to talk about golf. Someone wants to come on here and talk about some golf. Mm-hmm. I made that same offer to my friend who was like, you know what? We need some more lacrosse.
You were breaking up there.
Oh, really? Well, maybe it's you. Maybe the internet hears us. But like my friend was talking about the lacrosse team. He's like, you got to talk more lacrosse. It got to be more lacrosse blogging on the site. And I'm like, yeah, sure. I mean, I don't know anything about lacrosse. What am I going to say?
It's an expensive sport to take up. You golfers out there. But no, one time we'll have to talk. I'll talk to them about golf.
I mean, like I said, if you as a listener have something you want to talk about, I keep saying this. I think now as we're nearing the end of this episode, apologize for technical difficulties, by the way. If you have something you want to talk about, you're like, look, let me tell you about the golf team. You guys are missing out on the wonder of a minor sport here. You know, like then let us know. Tell me about it. We'll talk about it. Learn us some things. This is what it's all about.
Yes,
I enjoy all the mean green sports.
Yes, I will talk golf like Johnny Miller does on NBC for you guys. If you just let us know you want to talk about it.
Yeah. As it is, yeah, I mean, you just look at like, if you look at our clicks and things, nobody, it's football and then it's basketball, maybe. You know, that's the way it's always been.
Pretty much
and,
so.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, that's fine. That's fine. There's only so much time in a day. And, you know. Not all of us like the weird things, like the Browns, like this guy over here. you're like the only one in Texas that's going to be like cheering on the Browns, I think. The Browns pick.
No, there's actually the Browns backers are all over, you know, the U.S. and the world, and the location for the Browns backers in DFW is actually, like, right down the road from us.
I don't believe you. I feel like you're making this up as you go along.
I will.
I've never seen a Browns backer ever in my life, except you. Like, even then, I don't believe you. You're real.
Where's it at? At the Fox and Hound in San Antonio. If you go there on a Sunday, you will
there's
see.
Like three of them, though. Which one?
Okay, I don't know which one, but there are one of them. I will give you the location. You see a ton of Browns.
I'm going to go to all of them. I'm going to see if I see anybody in a Browns anything.
You can Google Browns backers organization and find the locations.
All right. Speaking of backers and organizations, I guess make your plans now if you're like thinking about how you're going to go to football games and stuff. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be in Austin. You're going to be in Austin, right?
Planning on it.
Yeah, all right. Well, I'm going to be there, and I'm going to, you know, with a bunch of San Antonio alumni, UNT alumni, and we're going to, you know, we're going to have a good old time.
You're gonna sweat,
dude. I don't know. I don't even want to say it, but I feel like we can beat Texas. There are days when I'm like, oh, they don't know we're gonna go in there and get a win. And the other days I'm like, okay, we're just gonna get beat. But today I feel like we're gonna go in and get a win.
Quarterback. You know how I feel going with the quarterback. That's just gonna be how I feel going into that game.
Can we beat Texas? Yes, because they are not great. They're not even, I wouldn't say they're not good. They're not top 25 good. They won't be ranked.
Well, that's what Charlie Strong said, too, right? He's like, well, this year don't expect us to compete for the national title.
Right? He's doing the Dan McCartney thing.
Yeah,
well. He's trying to say that they're crap and everything that they do is on, you know, is, you know, above and beyond their expectations.
Yeah. I guess. I don't know. I mean, I'm excited about it. I think it would definitely change a lot of things. It would, you know, to beat Texas, that's the big name here. That's the big bully on the block.
Yeah. I mean, they have the same problems we do. They don't have a quarterback.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think there's never a better time to play them than now, you know?
Yeah.
I think, what was the last time we played them? They were coming off a national title win. And, you know.
Yeah. Well, they were breaking in Colt McCoy for that game.
Yeah, I mean, even then, they had, you know, a large number of players that played in the national title season, right? You know, so this crop of guys, maybe it's better. New coach, you know, new guys, no quarterback. I think we can win.
Yeah.
We're the one, the bowl winning team here, you know? We're the ones going, they should be scared of us. Anyway.
Yeah, a lot of their fans, they're not scared of us. I'm trying to think. There was some fan.
He had told me something recently. I can't remember what it was. I put it up on Twitter a while back. They're just trash talking, and they think that they're still good. And they're not good yet.
Hey, what is it? Nick Saban, even the great Nick Saban, he got messed up. He got tripped up there by, was it Louisiana Monroe? They jumped up and bit him in his first season. I don't know. One of Louisiana. So, I mean, hey. Why not North Texas, right? That's the refrain.
Yeah, why not North Texas? Why can't we certainly can go down there and we can, you know, pull off what everybody in a UNT green shirt on that day will expect, the victory.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to be cheering for it. So I think with that said, until next time, watch the space, watch the Twitter space. We're going to try to do these at least with some kind of regularity leading up. I mean, even if we just sit around just talking stuff. Changes are coming to the site. We're going to make it cooler and more useful now that I have time, a little bit of, you know, leisure time. That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, I'm planning on doing a huge 2014 preview. Just a little bit about that. Every starter, or everybody that I think that's going to be a starter, so it'll be 22 of them, will have a full-page scouting report and grades on that specific player.
And then we'll do, you know, all conference teams. We'll do, you know, a little UNT preview. We'll do some statistical analysis. It's going to be big. It's going to be bad. You know, it'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah. And if you're good, Greg will sing you a song, too.
Yeah.
All right. So with that, you know, good luck to your Browns. Hopefully you get some guy worth watching. I mean, at the very least, right? Somebody that makes it kind of interesting. You don't even have to be good. Just somebody just, you know.
That's the thing about the Browns, and they're like literally like UNT. They're a quarterback away from being good. When we had a quarterback last year for Brian Hoyer for those.
Wait, how dare you slur the Mean Green by calling them like the Browns? Shame on you, sir.
Dude,
when we had a quarterback for 3 games last year, we won those games.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's modern football. That's not just the Browns. It's every team. It's every
team. Okay, yeah, our team is... the Browns are good. They had, you know, 6 all-pro players. How many did the Cowboys have?
Look, I will say I'm not going to talk all kinds of mess about the Browns because they do have a UNT, you know, alum up there playing defense. So I'll let you win this round, Greg.
The Browns have the greatest fans in the world.
Simple. Isn't that like the Steelers fans?
No, they just the Steelers fans travel well. They're not a great fan base. If the Browns and the Steelers are good at the same time, the Browns fans just.
I mean. I guess.
Look how long we've sucked.
Is that a good fan, or is that just like, you know, like masochists? Like
the, no,
the
because
they have a bunch of masochists. They like watching a terrible football team. You know?
No, because in like the you know the late '80s, they were the team. You know, they had all those that went to the AFC Championship games.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you were like the Bills before the Bills went up to you and became the Bills. You can't even be the Bills. You can't even be the unluckiest franchise because the Bills went and beat you at that. Gah.
Well.
Now what do you got? Now you don't have anything, dude.
We've got 20 quarterbacks who haven't done anything.
They've had 20 quarterbacks since 1999.
Well, I mean, the Cowboys went through their own spell of that there. That's why I can't bash Tony Romo like everybody else does because I know what it's like to just roll out some new guy out there, you know? Here's the third baseman. Let's see what he does. You don't know. No. I don't need that in my life.
It hasn't been as bad as 20. Okay.
Like, we're talking Spurgeon Wynn was a starting quarterback. And I guarantee
you. Hey, well, you had Colt McCoy out there, you know? And you ruined him.
Yeah, that's a noodle arm in Cleveland. It's just not a good competition.
Yeah. Well, all right then. So for Greg, who may or may not. I think the technical issues are on mine, but, you know, whatever. I'll take the blame. I'm Adam. This has been Mean Green Nation. MeanGreenNation.com. Mean Green Nation on Twitter. Greg is MGN_breakdown on the Twitters. You can email us if you want to talk about the podcast or say how great we did or maybe say how terrible we were. That's podcast@MeanGreenNation.com. Tell your mom. I think she'll like it. All right. Go Mean Green.
Go Mean Green.